thank you for tuning in and listening to Oasis of Love's Wednesday's message.
We're going to get started. You know, we're just going to start off really with a word of prayer. This, what I got to share with you guys, it was really laid upon my heart. Actually, before I knew that I was going to be speaking tonight, and it was laid upon my heart at work. And I think this is really one of the things that you guys kind of get to hear a little bit of my message that I'm going to be sharing with the youth. And so we're just going to start off with a word of prayer, and then we're going to get started. Father, I just thank you, Lord. Lord, I just thank you, God, for your presence in this place. I thank you, God, that what I have to share, Lord, it doesn't come by me. It doesn't come by what I think is best. Lord, I just thank you, God, that everything that comes out of my mouth, Lord, is from you. Holy Ghost, I ask that you will just quicken our hearts, quicken our minds, help us to retain the things tonight that you have for us. Lord, we just come with open hearts, God, to receive from you and what you have for us. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. All right, let's go ahead and turn to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. And one of the things is that I'm realizing that when I say, I'm going to refer to the church, and it's not like this church, but the body of Christ. We are slipping away from things that are God, that are supposed to be godly, and moving into a place where we are tampering in the devil's playground. I'm pretty sure I shared this with you, and if you're, for those who are sitting here in the church, if you're listening to this or watching this, the thing is, I just want you to be receptive to what the Word of God has to say to you tonight. And I realize what's going to be said is there's a lot of controversy on what is right and what is wrong. The problem is that we don't teach our people to rightly divide the Word of God. And then when we do try to teach them to rightly divide the Word of God, they don't want to be in the Word of God. So now we're coming into a generation who only says, well, doesn't the Bible say this? Doesn't the Bible say that? And it's like, read your Bible and you'll find out what it says. And so there was this, the true story, and I was told this by a gentleman named Todd White, and he said true story, a gentleman went to bed and he had a dream, and he was an atheist, and in this dream there's like a huge lot, and it's full of people, and in the middle of it there was a fence running right down it. And you could walk on that fence. And on one side, he knew, well, that's Jesus and everybody who believes in Jesus. And on the other side, that's the devil and everybody that's going to hell. So he stayed on the fence and he looked down for a moment and then looked up, and everybody's gone. And he's like, man, what in the world? Where did everybody go? And the devil comes up to him and says, hey, come on, let's go. And the gentleman said, ha, no, no, no. I didn't choose them, the Christians. I didn't choose them, and I definitely didn't choose you. And the devil looked at him and said, I own the fence. Let's go. You're with me. The devil owns the fence. We do not get to think that, well, if I can just be a little bit here, I'll be okay. I'm on the fence. I don't know if I'm over here or over there. I'll just stay in the middle. No. The devil owns the fence. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1. And you, he made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sin, in which you once walked according to the course of his word, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit whom now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others. That first verse, and you, he made alive when you were dead in your trespasses. Church, we have to be very careful on dividing what is right and what is wrong. We have to be very careful to not look at ourselves as, well, I should be okay. No. You were alive. God brought you alive when you were dead in your trespasses, when you were dead in your sin. Think about the moment that you got saved. Why did you come to Christ? Why would you give up your life for him? The Bible says that, I want to give you a verse. In 2 Corinthians 5:17, you don't have to turn there, but 2 Corinthians 5:17, it says that you, when you come into Christ, you are a new creation. The old you is gone. You are now new. People are like, man, I wish I could just have a fresh start. I wish I could. Dude, that's the freshest start that the old person's gone, the new person comes in. I remember Wendy sharing with me when she got adopted. When an individual gets adopted, they come into that family, and all of their past records are wiped. They're gone. There is none. She can go, and every child can go and try to find out their medical history before they were adopted, and there is none. It is wiped clean. It's the exact same thing that Jesus did for us. He wiped all of this junk that we did in our past. He wiped it completely clean and gave us a completely fresh start. I'm trying to stay on the stage because I realized I didn't back up the camera. You might be saying, Pastor Justin, where are you going with this? We have a group of people in the church, in the body of Christ, let me say it that way, in the body of Christ, that thinks it's okay to be in Christ but still live a worldly lifestyle. We have people in the body of Christ that, and I like it how DC Talk, Toby Mac, when he was a part of DC Talk, they had an album that came out, and one of the guys says, the greatest single cause of atheism in the world today is Christians who acknowledge Jesus by their lips and walk out the door and are denied by their lifestyle. They deny Christ by the lifestyle that they live. It's unacceptable. And the thing is that we allow ourselves to go, well, it's okay. It's all right. And we compartmentalize what's right and what's wrong instead of going, God, how do I need to live my life? What do I need to do? You've called me to be righteous. Turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1, and we are going to start in verse 13. Therefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and rest your hope fully upon the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not conforming yourselves to the former lusts, as in your ignorance, but as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct. Because it is written, be holy, for I am holy. I mean, it's like right there in our face. Be holy because I am holy. It's not acceptable in the sight of God for us to try to be on this fence and still be with him. The Bible says that you're either hot or cold. If you're lukewarm, he'll spit you out. I mean, it's funny because it's like, you don't want to tell people like, well, it's not about a bunch of do's and don'ts and rules and regulations. But I mean, why do we have rules? Why does God say, hey, you conduct yourself this way? This is how you're supposed to live. Because that's how he designed you. That's why he created you. He created you to be holy. He created you to walk with him. And when we're playing in the world, when we're playing in the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, the devil comes around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour, and we're wondering why we're struggling, we're wondering why all of these things are going on in our life, is because we're dabbling in the devil's playground, and it's like, you're playing with fire. I watched a video, I think Miss Janet posted this video. I'm not sure. I watch a lot of videos. But I seen a video and this guy's like dumping gasoline on this big, okay, yeah. So he's dumping gasoline on this huge, he's going to have a bonfire, right? And I'm like, I already know where this is going. And the guy lights it on fire. And of course, everybody knows that when you pull gasoline, you light a match to it. What does it do? Poof. It's not just like, it goes whoosh. And when he did that, the whole thing like exploded. And they get back a ways from it and stuff. And then you just see like what they had like built up to be this huge fire is like scattered everywhere. And I'm sure one of them got hurt. I'm sure they did. But it's the same thing. We think, oh, well, I'm okay. And guess what? They've probably done it before, but it just didn't bite them then. And so we sit there and we play in the devil's playground and we go, it's okay. I haven't gotten hurt before. And all it takes is that one time and it stings you. It is our sole duty. It is written in the word of God, be holy as I am holy. Why would God say that? Why would he say that? Because we sit there and say, well, I'm a poor sinner saved by grace. I'm a poor sinner. No, 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 no. You got to get that out of your vocabulary. You are the righteousness of Christ. Yes, you've been saved by grace, but you have been brought out of the pit. You know, we sang, and I didn't even think about it when we decided to sing that last song. He pulled you out of the ashes and raised you up and said, come on. And we want to dabble in what the world thinks is okay. Go ahead and turn with me to John, 1 John, 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2. Let's see, 1 John chapter 2, and let's go to verse 15. Do not, everybody say do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Wow, that's harsh. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world is passing away and the lust of it. But he who does the will of God abides forever. So we have to be very careful to set ourselves apart. The Bible says that we, as the body of Christ, we are the light of the world. A light to this world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. We are the salt of the earth. When we are raising our kids, we are always looking out for their best interest. We are always steering them. This is what you got to do. Just trust me. Just trust me. But I don't want to do that. I don't want to do that. And our kids get attitudes because they don't want to do what we're asking them, but we don't stop and think the attitude that we give God when he's asking us to do something. It's important for us to daily check ourselves and go, am I lining myself up with the Word of God? It is super important. Because as this church grows, we're going to have people that come in here that are going to be unsaved, that are going to be broken, bruised, that are going to be alcoholics, that are going to be they're going to be coming off, they're going to stink, they have issues. And it's our job to show them what Jesus looks like. It's our job to say, hey, listen, man. This is how you live. It's our job to show them that. I'm finding it out more and more that we have people that come into a church and will curse in church and don't think nothing of it. We will do things in church and think that it's okay. And wonder why our life isn't getting any better. Wondering why that we don't hear from God. Wondering why people call us hypocrites. When we walk out the door, Jesus said, if you deny me before men, I'll deny you before my Father. And it's funny because growing up, I always seen that as like, I will never deny Christ with what I say. Because you would watch these I think they were in like the 70s. They were like made in the 70s. I remember my grandparents had them. My grandma probably still has them on VHS. But it was like the end time stuff. And it was like, are you a Christian? Do you love Jesus? Yes, I love Jesus. I'm a Christian. and they'd kill him right there. And I'm like, man, I'll never deny Jesus. I'll never do it. But we don't stop and think of the lifestyle that we live speaks more loudly than words. We don't stop and think that when we walk out those doors, if we don't set ourselves apart from what the world is doing, are we really confessing Christ in the way we live? Am I denying Christ because I want to get wrapped up into a conversation that I know I shouldn't be a part of? Or talking to somebody and thinking it's okay to curse while I talk to them? Am I denying Christ? I'm not really denying Christ. Yeah, but are you showing them that they need Christ? Are you showing them Christ? The Bible says that you're an ambassador. You are an ambassador to Christ. What's an ambassador? We have ambassadors throughout the country. They are our representation of our country. They're either going to represent our country in a good way or a bad way, but they are a representation of this United States of America. You are an ambassador of Jesus Christ. You represent the King. You represent our King. A lot of controversy on how we should live and how we shouldn't live. And find out. When I was putting this together, it's like, oh man, I should put that in. Oh man, I should put that in. Oh man, I should put that in. Because there's so much instruction on what God is telling us. This is how you live. This is how you draw close to me. This is what is expected of you. In the old covenant, he said, this is the way you're supposed to live. Here's my commandments. This is the standard of living. We're in a new covenant, not bound by that old covenant anymore, but yet we still want to live as the world and not live as Christ when the new covenant is so much better and so much greater than what the old covenant was. I really wonder how serious they took this old covenant. Because when you think about it, they had to sacrifice for everything. Man, okay, what did I do? Oh, yeah, I did that. Okay, I got to go get a dove. Oh, man, I got to go get this. You know what I'm saying? I got to sacrifice for this, and I got to sacrifice for that. And it had to be spotless, without any blemish. How serious they must have taken making those sacrifices. And here we're in a new covenant. We don't have to make those sacrifices. And we walk out and we're in this world and we're just chillax about everything. I mean, you think about these radical Islamic people. Dude, they're in it. Like they're diehard. Like, they don't care, right or wrong. Like they're gonna do whatever it takes because they are in sole belief on like, this is how I'm gonna live, this is what I'm gonna do, and they take it serious. They're not playing any games. And then we're here as Christians, and well, it's okay. God will forgive me. Well, it's okay. I'll dabble in this and I'll dabble in that. And we don't think about what it does to people around us. God has called us to a higher calling. He has risen you from the ashes. You are the righteousness of Christ. You have a bloodline of a royal priesthood. You have been saved. You are that new creation. I love it when Jesus goes to he talks about the fig tree, and he goes to that fig tree, and he goes up to it because it has leaves in it. And if a fig tree has leaves on it, What is it supposed to have? It's supposed to have figs. So Jesus goes to it and goes, what in the world? There's no figs. I would have really loved to have been there when he just, the look on his face like, are you serious right now? And he curses the fig tree. And when they come back by it, it is withered and dead. And it speaks so loudly to me because when Jesus comes to my tree, I better have fruit for him to pick. It is my job to make sure it's not the pastor's job, it's not mom and dad's job, it's not anybody's job to make sure that I have fruit. It is my job to make sure I have fruit. It is my job, putting me being a pastor aside, before I was a pastor, it was my job for me to get in the Word. It is my job to fill myself up with the Word of God. It is my job to make sure that I have fruit for my King. And the Bible says, and Jesus was telling the disciples, a good tree can't produce bad fruit. And a bad tree can't produce good fruit. And he says to them, he says, you will know my people by the fruit that they bear. Does Jesus, when Jesus comes to his tree, is there fruit for him to pick? If there's not, make a turnaround. It's not right for our King to come to us and we have nothing for him. This whole season is about Jesus' birth. And you got these three guys that come from far away, coming through the desert. And what do? They give to the King. When you look at how me and Skylar have been watching old, like Night with castles and everything, these movies and stuff. And it's funny because there was an expectancy for every person that came to the King of, this is how you're going to conduct yourself. This is what's expected of you when you come to the King. And they bow to the King, they give a gift to the King, they do what the King asks, and they're expected to do it. They're looking for favor from the King, and it's no different. Why do we go to our King empty-handed? He's our King. He is our God. He's the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He came to this earth so we could have that relationship with him. Put on Christ daily. He knows you by the fruit, and so should this earth know you by your fruit. They should be able to pick you out everywhere you go. And that includes me. I am not excluded from this by no means. Be sober-minded. In 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8, it says, be sober-minded, be vigilant. Let's just go ahead and turn there real quick, and this will be the last verse that I give. 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5, that's 2 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Go to verse 6. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. He may rise you up in due time. Church, I challenge you. I put a challenge out to you. I'm seeing it more and more, and it disturbs me because we have people that are in the body of Christ that that think it's okay to go partying, to go drinking, to go smoke weed, to go do all of this stuff, go hang out with the people that are going straight to hell, and they go and do it, and then they come to church, and they think that they're okay. And it's unacceptable. When we really look at the Word of God, it is, it's unacceptable for us to be in the world and try to be in Christ. I think the Lord has made it very clear to us when we read the Word of God that He has separated us. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Casting off every stronghold that the devil comes at you. You look at these people that are that have no relationship with God, and you see their life, and I'm like, man, I don't know how I could go through life without Christ. How do they do it? But I have to step back and I have to say, but am I showing them who Christ really is? It's funny, me and Miss Wendy, Miss Wendy, thinking of youth group. Me and Miss Wendy, we were, we tell people we don't drink. And it's funny because when you tell people you don't drink, and oh well, they say, oh well, Jesus drank, and it's like, well, okay, great. We choose not to drink. Yeah, but that's not biblical. And it's like, okay, what Bible are you reading? Well, Jesus drank, and in they drank wine in the Bible days. Yeah, okay. Well, if you're going to use that verse to say, well, Jesus drank, well, Jesus also raised the dead, cleansed the leper, and healed people. So when's the last time that you did that? I mean, we have to really. I mean, if we want to use that as a staple to be able to do things in the world, well, you better look at everything that Jesus did. I mean, he walked upright in the sight of God. He spent time. He wept in the Garden of Gethsemane and sweated blood. Gave up his life for you so you could be free from the bondage that the devil ensnares you in. Let's be careful that we are not on this fence. It's unacceptable for us to go to the edge of the cliff and go, yeah, but I'm not over there. I'm still okay. The Bible is very clear that even, this is the one verse I wanted to share with you, and I don't think I wrote it down, but yes, I did. 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9, it says, it talks about being careful that the things that you're doing, that you're not being a stumbling block for those people around you. And that's in everything that we do. So I just challenge you, church, as we go out into this world and we call ourselves Christian, I would tell people, I'm pretty sure I shared this with you guys too. I share it with a lot of people. Because I find it hilarious because the look on people's faces. But people, when we were going down the Rhema, and I would tell people, you want to act like a knucklehead? That's fine. Go act like a knucklehead. But you better not tell them you are a Rhema student. Go tell them you go to ORU or something. Do not tell them you're a Rhema student. And they look at me and I'm like, I'm for real, man. You represent Rhema. You got that. Every student has a sticker on the back of their window for parking. Every student. And it says Rhema on it. So when they're driving around acting like a knucklehead or going to the bar or going to the liquor store and it says Rhema right on the back of it, nah, man, You gave that right up. you represent. And people will call Rhema and, hey, you just had a student that just cut me off, blah, blah, blah. And you got kids driving around, and of course they're kids, they're driving around and they're flipping people off or doing whatever. And it's like, you got a Rhema sticker, man. Dude, don't take that thing off. Drive a different vehicle if you're gonna act like that. So it's funny because I'm like, if you're gonna act like a knucklehead, do not tell people you're a Christian. Tell them you're Muslim or something. I'm serious. Because if you're not going to represent Christ in the right way, I mean, I've told people at my work, take that thing off the wall, because what it says is not the correct representation of Christ. You're giving Christians a bad name. It's our job to make sure and find out in the Word of God what is holy, pleasing, and acceptable to our King. And to make sure that we rightly divide that word of truth, rightly divide to say, hey, I'm going to go through. It's funny because I realize that there are just things in our life that we just struggle with. And it's okay. My dad smokes. He's smoked ever since I've known him. But I know where his walk with the Lord is at. And one day, he will kick that habit. But until then, it's not my job to say what you're doing is right, what you're doing is wrong. It is my job to say, hey, man, look, this is what the Word of God says. Hey, man, like, and just encouraging people. And be in that correct representation that Christ has called me to be. Amen? All right. Well, that's all I have. So I will turn you guys loose. Hope you guys were blessed by that. So it's going to be a little more condensed for our teenagers. But, yeah, it'll be good, though. Cool. You guys have a good night. Drive home safely. And Sunday, I will be preaching Sunday. So, Merle, you better show up. Don't be skipping out. All right? All right. Oh, yes. Yes. Absolutely. So you guys be blessed, and we will see you Sunday. Sunday.
We hope you enjoyed and got something out of this message. Thank you again for listening. Join us at Oasis of Love Family Church, 341 North Hudson Street in Coldwater, Michigan. Our Wednesday evening service is at 7 p.m. and our Sunday service is at 10:30 a.m.